Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith. This is Pastor Dave, and you're not listening by chance. God has a message for you. We've been doing a series called The Marks of the Church, and today we're going to talk about the aroma of Christ. How's everything smelling? I don't know where you're at, but we're going to talk about the aroma of Christ, and I want you to know that God loves you, and He wants to put His aroma in you. Over the past 4 weeks, we've been looking at the marks of the church, and the first week, we looked at Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, and we learned that the early church was a learning church, a fellowshipping church, a praying church, a worshiping church. It was a happening church, a sharing church, and a happy church. The early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. That's why they were a learning church. They were devoted to fellowship, which included the breaking of bread and sharing what they had in common. They were a worshiping church with prayer, awe, and wonders and signs. And they were a joyful, attractive, and growing church through their witness. They were a teaching and learning church that was devoted to fellowship, worship, and witness. The second week, we looked at John chapter 4, where Jesus met the woman at the well, and He taught her that worship is not about a place, but a person. Let's just stop there for a moment. Worship is not about a place. It's about a person. We talked about the early sign of Christianity, the ichthus, the sign of the fish, and the Greek letters of the word of the fish, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Worship is about a person and not about a place. And if you were listening last week, we looked at Jeremiah 29:11 and learned that the church is to be a living letter of God's love read by all. This week, we turn back to our reading in 2 Corinthians. Paul is explaining to the church in Corinth that they are the aroma of Christ. Let us turn to God's word, and before we do, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord God of all grace, let us hear your living words of life today. Let them dwell in our hearts, and may we become the aroma of Christ for those near us and also in this world. Amen. I'm going to pass out if you were here, I would pass out some tortillas, and we could all break off a piece of that tortilla and hold it. Don't eat it, but we're going to use it as a message in this service. Our passage today is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 14, and we're going to work our way through chapter 3:3. Listen for God's word. God has a word for you in His word, and may His words just revive you today. Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death, and to the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task?" Verse 17, "Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need to, like some people, write letters of recommendation to you or from you?" Verse 2 of chapter 3, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody." I'm going to stop there for a minute. Have you ever thought that you're a letter? That you're a letter and that wherever you go, people are reading you? That's what verse 2 of chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians says. "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody." Verse 3, "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Have you ever wondered what the aroma of Christ would smell like? I ran across a new candle the other day. It's called His Essence, and it claims to give you the fragrance of Christ. Bob and Karen Tosterud have the perfect solution, a candle that not only reminds you of Jesus, but actually smells like Jesus. Now, well, I'm not sure if it does, but they say it does. And while other candles offer the aromas of fruits or spices, the Tosterudes have invented a candle that, when lit, emanates with the fragrance of Christ himself, hence his essence. That's what they're claiming. They call it, we could call it what WWJSL, what would Jesus smell like, instead of WWJD. The Tosterudes would say, visit the Holy Land and you can walk where Jesus walked, but by this candle, you can smell like Jesus smelled. That's their quote in their ad. I'm not promoting their candle. I'm just telling you what they say in their ad. And we see it as a ministry, says Bob, who along with Karen came up with the idea when they read a passage from Psalm 45, a wedding psalm, which refers to the bridegroom as having robes that are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Verse 45, Psalm 45, verse 8. The Tosterudes interpret this passage as a messianic psalm that describes the fragrancy or essence of Jesus when he returns. Wondering what a combination of myrrh, aloe, and cassia would smell like, the South Dakota couple combined these oil scents, and with a little help from a friend, a candle maker began to produce his essence candles as a business and ministry. Karen, his wife, said, "We wanted people to be able to experience Christ in new ways and to be able to read a Bible and have the scent and the candle as a reminder that he is with us all the time." To which Bob adds, "You can't see him, you can't touch him. This is a situation where you may be able to sense him by smelling him. What it provides is really a new dimension in one's experience with Jesus." As I read that story, I thought about, what would Jesus smell like? Maybe better yet, what do we smell like? If you're willing and your eyes are right now, just remember that these folks have at least been reading their Bible, Bob and Karen. They've been reading their Bible and what others do as well, which they are looking to put their Bible into practice. Regardless of the sense we make of this scented candle, what comes to your mind when Paul talks about the aroma or the fragrance of Christ? He says that we are the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are being perishing. So this brought me to ask an early so what question. If we're really wanting to experience Christ in our midst, what should we be sniffing around for? If we really wanted to smell like Christ in the midst of our world, what would he smell like in us? What should we smell like? Christ is the smell of life. That's what Paul is telling us. I find it interesting that the sense of smell is a moving experience and one that can be quite profound. Growing up in the Midwest, the smell of freshly cut grass or the smell of harvest was a wonderful smell. As you drive through the back roads during the fall harvest, you can actually smell the cut corn stalks or pea pods or soy pods. I do have to say that the smell of cut grass or combining corn is a very different than standing in the ocean or smelling the salty breeze. When I ran my tire stores back in Illinois, we had a warehouse full of tires. Rubber tires put out a distinctive smell. Just the other day, my daughter Jody had to go to the tire store to get some tires. She came home and said that the smell of the store reminded her of me and of the happy memories she had going to work with me and playing hide and seek with her brother and sister in the back room of the warehouse. Back in the day, the smell of tires was the smell of money for my business. The point is that smells can be overpowering. Imagine for a moment what Jesus must have smelled like after a typical day in his life. Jesus walked everywhere, never stopped, He walked all over Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and up and down Phoenicia and Syria. He didn't shower or bathe all that often, and it's unlikely that he wore any type of deodorant. We know that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he washed the feet of his disciples. It is probably fair to say that Jesus must have smelled. How funny that, according to the makers of his essence candles, Jesus didn't smell like a homeless preacher. He smelled sweet, like myrrh and aloes and cassia. Have you ever wondered what the smell of Christ actually was? I know it's kind of a mind-blowing question for us today. What did Jesus smell like? A little boy was asked what he thought forgiveness was, and he gave a beautiful answer. It's the odor that flowers breathe when they're trampled on. That's a profound thought. The smell of forgiveness, the little boy said, is the odor that flowers breathe when they're trampled on. You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I'm going to take a break here and just say, if you don't have a home church, we surely invite you to come up and join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. Come and join us for a worship service, and if you can't get up to us, email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, and I'll help you find a church in your area where you can connect. And maybe, just maybe, when you go to that church, you'll smell the essence of Christ's presence. That's my prayer, that you'll smell the essence of Christ's prayer at the Seed Christian Fellowship. It's my prayer that you'll smell the essence of Christ's presence in the church that you're attending. In the context of this passage, forgiveness is what Paul is trying to teach the church in Corinth. I said just a minute ago, a little boy was asked what forgiveness smelt like, and he said it's the odor that flowers breathe when they're trampled on. And forgiveness is the context of this passage to the church in Corinth. There was a man who insulted Paul, and Paul forgave him. Have you ever been insulted? You don't have to smile. I'm smiling right now because I think every one of us have been hurt or insulted or mistreated by someone. Paul was insulted, and Paul forgave him. I would say right now, I'm going to digress for a moment. If you're holding something back because someone has hurt you, my prayer is that you'll forgive him. Paul is asking the church to forgive this man too. The word forgive is used 6 times in 3 verses. Let's go back and look at this reading, and I'm going to go a little bit slower in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 5 through 11. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. Verse 6. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Verse 8, I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Verse 9, the reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. And verse 10, if you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 5 through 11. I'm going to read 10 and 11 again, just real quick. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his scheme. I think that the fragrance of forgiveness is one of the most powerful and life-giving fragrances that came from Christ. The fragrance of forgiveness. is the fragrance. I think it's one of the most powerful and life-giving fragrances that Christ shared. The Hebrew word for forgive is used 71 times in the Bible. And the Greek word for forgive is used 76 times. In fact, every Sunday we pray a prayer at our church, and it's called the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you pray that at your church, or maybe you just pray that at home if you've been taught the Lord's Prayer. And there's a petition in there that says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or some translations say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So the original Greek would say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Jesus went on to teach about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 6. He said, if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. And then Jesus spoke the word forgive from the cross. What a powerful word when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is a wonderful mark of the church. The Greek word for forgiveness is aphiemi, A-P-H-I-E-M-I in the transliteration in English, aphiemi, and it means actually to send away. Here's what I want you to do today. It is maybe make a list of the people that you need to forgive, write them down, and send it away. Think of an offense or an insult or a grudge that you're carrying, or a hurt or a pain. How wonderful it would be to just let it go, aphiemi, and send it away. Whether you're ready today while you're listening to this program, or maybe tomorrow or the next day, I would say do something literal, like taking a piece of bread and putting it in a basket or putting it in the trash can and saying out loud, aphiemi. I'm a practical person. I need to do things practically and say, Lord, I forgive. You fill in the blank. Forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. Forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. When you forgive someone, you set yourself free. When you forgive someone, you open up the prison door and you get to walk out. When you don't forgive, you basically are locked in a prison cell, and the person who has hurt you or offended you or mistreated you or abused you or left you is out living their life. It's time today, right now, for you to make a decision to forgive. It's a time for you to aphiemi. It is said that an angel strolled out of heaven one beautiful day and found his way to the old world. He roamed through field and city, beholding the varied scenes of nature and art, and just at sunset he flumed his golden wings and said, I must return to the world of light. Shall I not take with me some mementos of my visit here? How beautiful and fragrant these flowers are. I'll pluck them up into a choice bouquet. Passing a country home where he saw through an open door a rosy little crib in his mother's face, he said, the smile of the baby is prettier than these roses. I'll take that too. Just then he looked beyond the cradle and saw a devout mother pouring out her love like the gush of a perpetual fountain, and as she stopped to kiss goodnight her precious baby, oh, he said, that mother's love is the prettiest thing I've ever seen in the world. I'll take that too. And with these three treasures, he winged his way toward the pearly gates. But just before entering, he decided to examine his mementos, and to his astonishment, the flowers had withered until they were no longer things of beauty. The baby's smile had changed into a frown, but the mother's love retained all its pristine beauty and fragrance. He threw aside the withered roses and the departed smile, and passing through the gates, was welcomed by the host of heaven that gathered about him to see what he had. Here, he said, is the only thing I found on earth that would retain its fragrance and beauty all the way to heaven. The sweetest thing in all the world is a mother's love. The word love is used 733 times in the Bible. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, and all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We can never forget Jesus' teaching to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. As we study the scriptures, we find that Christ had two definite aromas, the crushing aroma of forgiveness and the fragrant aroma of love. And we saw these two mingled together from the cross. From the cross, Jesus forgave his offenders. What kind of love is found at the cross? So what? Don't you find this verse really interesting? But thanks be to God who always leads us in the triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. I love to think that we, as the body of Christ, the church, that we as the Seed Christian Fellowship carry the aroma of Christ to one another, to our families, to our neighbors, to our workplaces, to the grocery store, to the post office, to the freeway. Now that's radical, isn't it? That we would have the aroma of Christ on the freeways out here? Yes, to every single place that we go. Stop and think about this. We who know Christ, we carry Christ in our hearts. We are the fragrance of Christ to those we see each day. All of us here will leave and head home or go to our workplaces while you're listening to this. I don't know when you're listening, but wherever you go, you're going to carry the fragrance of Christ. Here's a great illustration. We have a diffuser in our house, and it diffuses an aroma, and it has to be plugged in. It has to have an electrical current for it to diffuse. And what I would say is we need to be plugged in so we can diffuse the aroma of Christ. One of our jobs as Christians is being the fragrance of Christ in the world. This is the mark of the church, the aroma of Christ, not a scented candle, not in us, but the fragrance of Christ is in us and the love of and forgiveness found at the cross. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have you gone out today? That's my prayer, that you'll go out today and spread the aroma of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come today and we know there are people who have been hurt, and we ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness for our sins. And Lord, we forgive those who have sinned against us so that we can carry the aroma of Christ. Let us carry forgiveness and let us carry love. Let us know that we can aphia me, let it go and send it away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christ is our perfect example from the cross, forgiving those who crucified him. We can forgive those who have hurt us. Forgiveness is the most beautiful aroma that we can carry. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you, and I love you, and it's never too late. It's never too late for God to work, to heal, to restore, to reconcile, and to bring hope into your life. Walk out today wherever you're at, or tonight, whenever you're listening, walk out with the aroma of Christ. God bless you.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.